WTBQ.
Okay, we're on. Good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti. This is The American Dream. Welcome to our show. I am here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 interviewing the best, the most courageous, and the most daring entrepreneurs of Orange County. Just a quick summary of why we started this show. I get lucky enough to work with entrepreneurs each and every day in our practice at Miles Wealth Management, which, funny enough, is what sponsors this show each and every week for us. And it kind of inspired me to kind of get the story out for all those people out there that are sitting on the fence thinking about throwing their hat in the ring to make their own, follow their dream and their passion and make a business out of it. And those that are actually still in, that are in business today, that need that little encouragement or keep the fight going, so to speak, and maybe get something out of this. So it's, the design here is to encourage and inspire all those entrepreneurs that are either starting or thinking about coming in today. So with that said, I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been a great ride for me and my firm, and more important, I get to meet great people, interesting people, each and every week, and today is no different. I'm going to tee this up in 2 seconds, but I make sure that everybody knows we have to do all these fun legal things, that, you know, the opinions of my today that are stated by myself or my guests today are the opinions of them and not necessarily the opinions of Miles Wealth Management. Now we've covered the legal side of this thing. Welcome, Rachel. Rachel Bertoni is my guest today, who is a local Warwickian, but more in the world of Sugarloaf. And she got her start just a wee back here, but I'll give you a little biography on Rachel. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because, quite frankly, it's quite accomplished, and it may take a good portion of the show to read. But Rachel is a passionate jewelry designer, receiving her BA in art education from Queens College in Queens, New York, and various other institutions, Fashion Institute of Technology, Craft Students League, and my goodness, a wealth of knowledge, you name it, extensive jewelry design career. Over the years, Rachel has taught in various institutions, Pratt Fashion Industries of High School, Mercy College, Craft Students League, JCC, YWCA, as well as private lessons. She continues to share her experience in jewelry design, wax carving, fabrications through lectures, visiting artist programs, consulting services, you name it, goes on and on. She's actually also a New York certified permanent art teacher. And the more fun things, let's get to the fun things here. But I was reading this biography 2 days ago. Her designs have been featured on CBS Early Show, FX, The League, and voted a top trend design by the World Gold Council for several 18-karat gold bangles. And then the really kind of neat things here that I found. She had 11 pieces from her Bertoni Design Branch series were chosen by J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, to say the least, to be worn in the 2010 movie Backup Plan. So cool. And I'm going to save some of this thing because there's so much more to talk about. Never mind the fact that Ivana Trump has worn her stuff. She's been on QVC, et cetera, et cetera. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jim.
It was quite a mouthful just to get that out there. But thank you for being on the show. It's people just like you that we're lucky enough to have here every day, every Tuesday, that that kind of gives us a culture of what Warwick's about, especially, I'm obviously a Warwickian. I grew up here. But Orange County in general is just a magnet for entrepreneurs.
I just happened on Orange County. I'm a native New Yorker, born and raised in Brooklyn.
Now, if you can't tell by the accent, maybe that she may not be from here, but in the United States. So where, Brooklyn, did you say?
Brooklyn, yep, Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
So give us a little background. How did you come upon Warwick, New York, or Sugarloaf, more importantly?
Well, actually, it was a dear friend of mine whose family has been living in the Warwick area. Her name is Donna. She may be even listening today. She had encouraged me to come to Sugarloaf to show my jewelry. I was living in Manhattan, and I was a jewelry designer working with probably 20 of America's largest gold manufacturers. And I was designing and doing wax models, and then they would produce the items, of which wound up on Home Shopping and various other places throughout the world, actually. And then I started, doing my own thing, and I had a collection of jewelry. And my friend in Warwick said, "Why don't you come up to Sugarloaf and, check out what Sugarloaf is about?" So I came up to visit her 1 weekend, and I brought a small portfolio of jewelry. And I went over and I went up and down the strip in Sugarloaf showing my portfolio, asking people, you know, would you be interested in carrying my work? And it was no after no after no. And I was like, oh, well. Well, then I hit on this one store. And the woman's name is Arlene. She's no longer with us, but she was a very sweet woman. And she had turned to me and said, you know what? I do want to place an order with you. So she placed an order, and I was thrilled. I was like, oh, great. I have another store handling my work. And when I came to deliver the work, she said, by the way, we're having a fall festival coming up. And she said, would you like to show your things at the fall festival? I said, yeah, sure. I've done a million festivals in Manhattan. Why not try one upstate? So I came for the fall festival, and I was showing my jewelry. And my friend Donna, who was the only person I knew in the area, said, you know, I'll watch your things, because I turned and I told her there was a house for sale on the corner. And I went over and I looked at the house and I was like, oh my God, it's perfect. This town has mixed use property where you can have a store in your home. And I thought it just sounded perfect, because for about 20 years I had looked for a store in Manhattan and could not find anything that I could remotely afford. So
yeah, slight difference between Manhattan and Sugarloaf, New York, square footage wise.
Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, was very discouraged, you know, but I still kept it in the back of my mind that someday I'd have a store. But in the meantime, I was, you know, selling to other stores. So I went to see the house and I fell in love. I mean, within a matter of 5 minutes, went back to my friend and said, that's it. I'm calling my boyfriend. And she was like, what? I said, I think I'm going to buy that house. So I called my boyfriend, Bob, up, and I said, hey, Bob, I said, I found the perfect house. He goes, house? I didn't know we were looking for a house. I said, well, you know, now, if you want to live with me, this is where we're going to live. Because he actually was still living in Brooklyn. I was living in Manhattan. He didn't want to move to Manhattan. I didn't want to move to Brooklyn. So we really couldn't figure out where we were going to live. And spur of the moment, I decided Sugarloaf was it.
Wow. and here we have it.
Yeah.
You moved. And what about a little bit of a culture shock, though, huh?
Well, let me tell you.
Probably still a culture shock.
No, actually, I have grown as a human being since being in Sugarloaf, I have to say. I mean, I've gotten involved in so many community-oriented things, from nonprofit to the chamber to just so many events that are happening. Where in Manhattan, I actually never met a soul in 17 years.
Nobody.
Yeah, nobody knew that I really bonded with. You know, I've met so many wonderful people since moving to Sugarloaf, I can't even tell you.
I agree. I mean, it's a special community.
Mm-hmm.
And Warwick in general, and Sugarloaf, there's special community. And you know, on that piece, you know, this is the thing about this show, we can go anywhere we want, just being but you it's nice to be, you can get real relationships with real people that are doing the things for the right reasons.
Well, you know, owning a store, you know, I had designed for companies for 20 years, and then I had also done craft fairs, but I never actually owned a store where the same people came back year after year. And I tell you, I have bonded with my customers over the years in such a wonderful way. Some of them have wound up personal friends of mine that, you know, we go to dinner and whatnot. And this is, you know, friendships that have just developed from, you know, following my dream and meeting wonderful people in the store.
And that's what's special about being a business owner. So let's not miss this. You convinced your boyfriend at the time that you found the ultimate new hangout for you guys to be, and it just fit everything about you. And I don't know, we don't know much about your boyfriend, but Sugarloaf is the most creative little town. And as I was growing up, the same thing. And it still has that attraction to it, without question. But it's a big difference between being a designer and then all of a sudden now you're going to be not only a homeowner, but now you're a business owner.
Yes, yes.
And how was that transition?
Well, it's now my husband. We got married about 2.5 years after buying the house. So it was, you know, a backward sort of way of doing it. But we spent about 9 months renovating the house to make it into the store, because we gave up our living room, dining room, which now became Bertone Gallery.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
huge.
Yeah.
Huge change.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious. Well, listen, we're going to hold that thought real quick. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. I'm here with Rachel Bertone, and we'll be right back after this. We'll be right back.
you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and costs thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates. The Doctor's Inn with Middletown Medical every Thursday at 11 a.m. Tune in to hear their specialists discuss the latest techniques and innovative procedures right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti. I'm sorry if I'm laughing here. We're just having a great time off the air, and we're going to have a good time on the air. Again, this is The American Dream. Welcome back. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 interviewing entrepreneurs of Orange County and all the things they do for not only our community, but for themselves and their family. And just it's always a very cool thing that I get to do each and every day here. I got to remind everybody, you can follow this show on WTPQ, but you can also watch us live now on Periscope, this new thing we're trying. So make sure you wave there, Rachel. Kind of a neat thing, and we're going to talk about technology here and how it may apply or not apply to Rachel's business here. But when we left off, we kind of set the groundwork here on how on Rachel's Bertone's background and how she got to Sugarloaf and why she fell in love with it so quick. And we were talking just quickly off air. That is just some of the greatest things about being an entrepreneur is the ability to, it's good and bad, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, good and bad, to actually be able to have to make decisions on the spot, but you have to live with those decisions too.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Well, luckily it's worked out for me.
But it wasn't always easy, right?
Oh, well, it's still not easy.
Right.
We didn't get into easy, did we?
No. Nobody owns a small business is going to say easy. I don't think that comes in there.
No, I basically work 7 days a week, probably a minimum of 12 hours, upwards of 21 hours a day.
And on that note, that is not the exception to the rule. That's the norm of the rule. And I think, for listeners out there, and I constantly do a lot of research on this now because it's now become really intriguing to me, the typical entrepreneur, this is the normal. So you're here in 12 to 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, because you never turn it off.
Correct. And being that I have the business in my home, it's even harder.
Right. It never leaves you.
Because now there's a job waiting upstairs that I know has to be done tomorrow. And I'm like eating dinner going, bye, babe. I got to go upstairs and finish this job. And then 2 a.m. he's like, you going to sleep? I'm like, no, I got to finish this job. And yeah, it's 4 a.m. And I'm like, oh, God, I better get to bed so I can wake up and do it all over again.
You are such the artist. Let me tell you, because that is so typical of most. Whether they're internet artists, as I call them these days, and we're artists, and we're talking the traditional world, creating things. It doesn't stop ever.
No.
Until you're done.
No. Well, there is no done. I hope that I can work until I drop, truthfully, because I do enjoy what I do. I've always wanted to do what I'm currently doing, but I did a million other things along the way. I mean, from teaching to bartending, where incidentally I met my current husband.
We won't say which bar.
Well, it's out of the area.
It's out of the area. Hey, but on that point, though, how did those other experiences help set you up for what you're doing today?
Well, I mean, each and every one of them have contributed. The teaching, I would say, probably the most, because, you know, when you're teaching, you have to know your subject and then be able to get it through to a younger person who knows nothing about that subject. So, you know, in retail and in jewelry designing, I often get people coming for custom design work, and when they come with an idea, I have to get it out of them, and then we have to discuss it, and I have to talk about it and talk about all the different aspects that go into it. And if you don't mind, I'll share a current story with you about a gentleman that came in for an engagement ring recently. And he came in and he was so organized and he had all of these thoughts, but he didn't have a design. And he wanted like 7 different things in this engagement ring. You know, it was all non-traditional. You know, people that...
Besides the big rock?
Yes. Well, he had the big rock actually from the girl's great-grandmother. So it was a sentimental rock. But the setting was what he really wanted to accentuate the stone. And he asked me for her birthstone. He asked me to have some symbols of hers. He asked me for some leaves and various other things that went into this design. And I sat down and drew out probably 5 or 6 different ideas. And then we settled on something. And he recently, you know, proposed. And the girl came to me practically in tears saying it was the perfect ring for her. I mean, she just said it couldn't be more perfect. And I tell you that element of, you know, working with the gentleman who was going to propose and the woman coming in wearing it and practically crying is the full circle of art, because it was a concept originally. And then we, you know, went through the design work to make the gentleman happy. And then I even added an extra element on the inside, a secret code on the inside that he didn't know until I showed it to him, and he was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then she said, oh my God, I can't believe it. So anyway, you know, the end result was so satisfying for all involved. And I just feel like that was the full circle. And that is what makes me so happy to be in business and to make other people happy. I mean, I really can't even tell you I was like on a high for at least a day.
That's a true gift, by the way, you just described there. And you're literally the epitome of why, how you get true fulfillment out of being an entrepreneur or a business owner.
Yes.
Right?
That's not just about the revenue in the pocket. You know what I mean? It really was, you know, a people thing, a happiness thing. You know, we all were just like hugging and kissing, you know, just with joy that it all worked out so well. So, you know, I was just thrilled to be a part of this.
So cool.
You know, alternative bridal, as I would call it.
Yeah. That wasn't just, you know, they looked, you know, you go in a book and pick out a design and go, I just got to get this done.
No. This was hours and hours and hours of carving. Specifically, I mean, down to the prongs that held the stone had some element of what this girl was about. Her symbols, her wants, her birthstones were on the bottom of the setting, but you couldn't see it from the top. So it had all these, I really call them like secrets within the ring. So somebody else looking at it would just see, you know, a pretty ring.
Right.
But then when you start showing them these little secret elements that there were birthstones and leaves and stars and all these wonderful things, even on the inside. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, talk about knowing your customer, though.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give credit to
the guy, too, because he came to me with all of the elements that he wanted. And I really thought to myself, oh, he wants a lot in this ring. I don't want to junk it up.
Right.
But I designed it so that it really just all flowed together.
Nice and clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it fulfilled the dream from not only them, but yourself
as
well, right?
Yes, yes. The jewelry of your dreams at Bertone Gallery.
There you go. And let's not mess this up, because we were talking straight off here. And you're located right in Sugarloaf,
yes.
Right?
Yes, 1392 Kings Highway in Sugarloaf. And if people want to check out my website, it's bertonejewelry.com. And certainly if anybody has any questions on any kind of jewelry design or... right. or engagement rings or earrings or anything, certainly they can give me a call.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at some of your work. Your work is vast. I mean, it's not just engagement rings.
Engagement ring
was an extremely amazing thing.
That's like the top of the iceberg. I mean, that is the pinnacle. But, you know, I've done earrings for somebody that just walks in and says, you know what, I need, a different ear wire. I don't wear pierced ears. I need a clip top. I'll say, sure, I'll change it for you. This necklace needs to be shorter. An earring needs to have a different stone. Maybe somebody will come in and see an earring in a pearl, but they really like onyx. So I'll make it up for them. Or they see it in silver, but they can only wear gold. I'll make it up for them. You know, that's really, one of the wonderful things about coming to my shop is the customized service.
Well, and I was going to say, you kind of beat me with it. It's true customized service.
Yeah.
And that comes with years of experience, right?
Well, I really, for 20 years, I was customizing design works for large manufacturers who are very demanding and they need very specific kinds of things. So really, to change an ear wire or to change a stone is
no brainer.
Is like a snap for me.
Right.
I used to do all sorts of things. I did miniature carving for a company called Michael Anthony, who still sells on Home Shopping and still sells several of my designs 30 years later.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll kind of get into this in the next segment, but you kind of hit a point here. You are the artist. You are the physical person creating these amazing works of art, but it's by hand.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. There is computer-generated jewelry in the mass market all over the place, in Macy's and JCPenney and everywhere you go. I don't know if the public knows how much computer-generated jewelry is out there, but it's not for me. And, it's technology and it's great and it's great for some people, but I have to work with my hands. I grew up working with my hands. I have two well-known, fairly famous parents. My mom is in Who's Who in America, and my father is in the Smithsonian, both painters.
Both painters?
Yes, yes. And my father was hoping that I would be a painter, but, I do a lot of fine art as well. I don't know if I mentioned that to
No.
you, but I do collage work and sculpture. So I do a lot of fine art. And one of my pieces, as I mentioned earlier to you, was recently featured in an inspirational book along with one of my poems. I do poetry as well. So I'm basically a creative thinker.
Just a little bit, right? Just a little bit. But you've also turned to a businesswoman as well. So, you know, as we're following this, I mean, you obviously had the DNA, right? It didn't just happen.
Yes, although, neither one of my parents did the business element, which I think if they had, they could have moved, further along also. They
right.
were much more... I mean, I admire my mother immensely because she is so focused on her art. She doesn't want to get involved in all the business aspects. And being that I do get involved in the business aspects, it actually takes me away from the creative element.
Yeah,
because I'm so busy doing marketing, email, and all of the other things. And that's why I have to double up as a business owner half the day and creative person the other half a day, so I work double
Hence
shifts.
Hence why 7 days a week, 12, 13 hours a day.
Exactly.
But that's the world we're in today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you look back, and my grandfather, by the way, was a painter. And he was.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my grandfather was a painter in Ireland. He was, unfortunately, he's not with us anymore, but he was a sign painter, how he got started, and ended up doing... specific things for many, many, he did gold leafing was one of his things.
Oh, nice.
He's actually, I'll have to show you the book sometime.
Yes,
please do. He's in the artist, and my father actually was still got a little bit of an artistic. I have zero.
Zero?
But I am creative.
Well, you're creative
I'm
in a different
creative
way.
On a different side of it. I always laugh, and I thank God I learned how to type because my handwriting is completely illegible. But listen, with that, we're going to take a quick break. I'm with Rachel Bertone. I'm having a great time here. We'll be right back. This is The American Dream. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Stacy Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
Hi, this is Mary Ulrich with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Orange County, inviting you to join me and your Orange County farmers on Farm Talk every Wednesday at 12 noon, where you will learn everything agriculture on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ!
Cloudy skies, windy today with some periods of light snow this afternoon. There could be a burst of moderate snow that may lay down a half an inch or so, and maybe some slick conditions by evening. It'll be quite windy, temperatures in the low to mid-30s. Tonight, a chance of a snow squall or two could leave another dusting to a quarter of an inch. Slippery conditions and strong wind gusts, temperatures drop down into the upper teens. Tomorrow, look for clouds and some snow flurries, windy and cold, high near 30. Cloudy tomorrow night, chilly down to 12, and partly sunny Thursday in the lower 30s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti. This is the American Dream, and we are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 interviewing the entrepreneurs of Orange County, the people that get up and do it for each and every day, and thank God they do, because that's what makes this country great. As a reminder, folks, you know, there is literally 28 million small businesses in the U.S., 22 million of which are self-employed. And it is the number is amazing, the amount of small businesses as to large corporations. But they're the ones that, quite frankly, listen, everybody, every business out there started as a mom-and-pop or an entrepreneur. IBM wasn't always IBM. Microsoft was not always Microsoft. And that's how things happen. And thank God we're in a country that we're allowed to do that and have the right to go take the leap of faith and make it on our own, which is great. And, you know, Rachel's here with me. Rachel Bertoni's here from her from Sugarloaf. And you did the same thing. And here we are today, a bunch of years later. But you only owned your business for about 10 years now?
It's actually this year, in September, I'll be celebrating my 16th year.
16th year. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It flew by. Let me tell you, I can't believe it.
and next thing you know, I laugh, and we talk about this off air. My daughter is now 17, and I always constantly go, first of all, who let me have children? And two, now she's 17. How did this happen so quickly?
How did this happen, right? Yes.
And I'm celebrating, I think, my 20th plus year in business as well. And I remember when I first started out, my father dragged me back into this business going, this is really what I want to do? And then I got to see what he does and kind of, we're talking about DNA, the other side, and I fell in love with the taking care of the people part and getting the fulfillment. And we were talking before, you know, the ability to be able to get the information from the client and that customer service and then turn around and give them
what they need and
what they want. And that's a true talent. That's not just pick it out of a box or a catalog talent.
Right.
Right. And that takes deep thinking and an understanding of your client. And not everybody has that.
That's true. And I have seen a number of people come and go from Sugarloaf that don't give it their all. They don't put in the time. And they don't have that kind of spirit. And I came into this business saying to myself, this has to work. And I feel like you have to have that attitude, because I had done freelance teaching, bartending, secretary, and any number of other jobs throughout my life. And I always knew that that wasn't what I wanted. So once I came to Sugarloaf, I feel like I just had to make it. If it killed me, I would go down kicking and screaming. But
but you know that's it's funny you say that. But that is the attitude it takes.
Yeah,
and that's the drive. And I picked that up when we were talking. You know, you have this very amazing drive that there's a never die attitude here.
Well, you know, I have this like burning desire inside. You know, I don't know what it is, and probably most artists have it. It's just like I have to create, and once you create all these things, you have to sell them. And if you're depending on someone else to sell them, they're never going to sell them the way you do, because you know about your own product. You know why you made it. You know how you made it. You know the materials. Right. You know, I know it down to, you know, every little inch. And, you know, sometimes I, believe it or not, have a millimeter size beads. I mean, like 2, 2.5, 3 millimeter beads. And sometimes I'm debating, does it need a 3 millimeter bead or a 2.5 millimeter bead? I mean, the difference between a 2.5 millimeter and a 3 millimeter bead, most people wouldn't even notice with their eyes.
No way.
But I notice it in my design element, because maybe it covers up something that I wanted to cover up, or allows me to see something that I want to be shown in a design. So,
But you're talking about true entrepreneurism and the all-in attitude, as I like to
think
about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And you can't say, I mean, I've had people, and I actually have a store for rent right next to my store. And every time I get somebody who asks, you know, how much is the rent, I want to start a business, I tell them right up front, you know, think long term. I've had people that say, oh, I'm going to try it for 6 months. I go, no, that's the wrong attitude.
You're already done.
You're done. Because
you've already let yourself know you're going to fail.
Well, you've already set up the closure at 6 months. I mean, my mother, when I first started this, said to me, well, how long are you going to do this? Because when I first started, I mean, I was struggling. I did anything and everything, and lectures and teaching, plus doing freelance, plus running the business. I mean, I was just like day in and day out going crazy. And she
just
was
like, to make it.
Just to barely make it the first couple of years. I mean, right. This was when I knew no one. I knew no one in the area. I just came up from the city. I was struggling. And I said to my mom, I don't know. In other words, I'm not going to put a block and say, well, I'm going to give it 2 years. I'm going to give it 3 years. Because how do you really know how long it takes? And it took 3 years for me to actually see the beginnings of people coming back and starting to build relationships with my customers and things like that. So, you know, it's not something that you can say, I'm going to try for 6 months. It will not work. I mean, if you can make a business work in 6 months, I'd like to speak to you.
Yeah. Oh, I think we all would, right? And, you know, that's probably some of the best, and I'm not saying this just because you're sitting here in front of me. I think some of the best advice I've ever heard so far. Because, you know, you can write all the business plans you want. You can think and listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not advocating you don't write business plans. As a matter of fact, I advocate everybody write a business plan and write it for yourself. You know, because that's, and don't lie to yourself. You got to be true to yourself to understand that this is what it's going to take. But you got to go through all the pieces here. But once that's done, the next piece of this thing is implementation, right? And not be afraid that, listen, not everything is going to go as planned.
Oh, no. I've
very
made
rarely.
So many turns along the way, I can't even begin to tell you.
Right.
You know.
Unexpected.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. But you have to just forge on and keep going and make new decisions and give up what isn't working and continue with what is working. Like, I'm very successful with earrings. Earrings is how I began, which actually I started making earrings in 1982.
Wow.
I don't even know how many years that is at this point, probably 30-something.
That's a lot of earrings in a lot of years.
A lot of earrings. I mean, thousands upon thousands of earrings I have handmade over the years. So I started making earrings. Actually, you know, I shouldn't say I started making earrings. I'd like to tell you the story on how I started making jewelry, because I had no intentions of becoming a jewelry designer.
Yeah, great. Because I say, you just didn't all of a sudden, I'm going to become a nurse, I'm going to become a businessman, I'm going to become a jewelry designer.
I went to school to be an art teacher. And while being in college, studying to be an art teacher, there was this one class and one class only in Queens College called Jewelry in Education. So it really was just to introduce you to jewelry so that you could have another repertoire instead of just drawing and painting. When you were teaching, you would have one other skill. So I took it with the idea that maybe I would teach a little jewelry making. Well, at the end of the class, I enjoyed it so much, I asked the teacher, you know, would it be possible for me to take this class again? He says, sure, you'll be my assistant. I was like, assistant? But then if you think about it, I already took the class. It was the only one class. So everybody coming in the next season would do what I just finished doing. So I did the second class. I was the assistant. And by the end of the class, a student asked me to purchase one of my pieces. And that was my light bulb moment, because I was making jewelry for myself. I always loved jewelry, and I always wore jewelry. I collected jewelry. So I was doing it just for the fun of it and maybe to teach it, not to go into business in jewelry. But when the other student had asked me to purchase one of my pieces, and I was like, I don't even know what I would charge for that. But I charged her $10. And then I thought, okay, well, I can make another one for myself. I guess I could spare one. But then the light bulb moment came, and I was like, well, if I sold one, maybe I could sell more. And that really was the pivotal moment. Then the second moment was at the end of the class. The teacher, Jim Warwick, I hope he's still around. He lives down in Florida now, but he was my professor. And he said, here's your first tool. I want you to go home and start making jewelry at home. So it was the transition from a class and making jewelry only once a week in school to here's your first tool, go home and make jewelry. And that was like my second pivotal moment. Oh, right. I don't have to just do it in school. I can now do this at home.
I can actually transition this into a business.
Mm-hmm. And that was when I decided, okay, maybe I'll start, you know, evenings and such, you know, and I went back to my place and started making a little jewelry. And really, the rest is history.
And holy cow, somehow I make a living at this now.
Yes, yes. Right? And I mean, I can't tell you how many, you know, transitions I've made since then, because I was doing most of my own, as I said earlier about the earrings. That was the first thing that I sold, and I continued to sell.
So that was your specialty.
Yes, I was just doing earrings. And then as I was selling, I think I only made earrings in the beginning. I mean, just earrings, because I'm an earring fanatic myself. But at that point, people would say to me, well, you know, what if I want a bracelet to match? What if I want a ring? I'm like, eh. So I decided to go back to school, and I went to FIT to learn a little bit more about jewelry making. And I took a class in wax carving. And I was designing some things in wax with the idea of producing these things. So now I went from hand making each and every piece to learning about wax carving and mold making. And that teacher, Larry Kallenberg, who also wrote a book on wax carving, took me aside and said, you should become a model maker. And I was like, model maker? What's that? I had no idea what it even was. But basically what a model maker does is you make the original waxes that are then produced in the jewelry industry when they were making it by hand. Now, as I said earlier, you push buttons, the computer spits out the model, and it actually X's out the need for a model maker. And I spent 20 to 25 years building a career as a model maker.
That's technology, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So either with it or without it, it's still here.
Yeah. I mean, I may break down eventually. I don't know. But for the moment, I'm doing my own wax carving. I don't do my own casting. I have a wood frame house built in 18-something.
It predates a lot of codes that way. Right?
Yeah. But nevertheless, I do the originals. I'm the sculptor and creator of all of my pieces. So
amazing. So how did you know, for our listeners out there, you know, how did the transition, you know, obviously the artist is always going to be within you. You know, it's continued. And then you realize that I got to start learning how to deal with the business side of this thing. And obviously that light bulb moment was like, okay, I sold my first piece for $10. How do I duplicate this?
Right.
But then there's a whole different world between, you know, selling one or two pieces to going out and finding people to buy your stuff.
Yes, yes. And I have to say there was a big transition between when I was doing strictly craft fairs, because the craft fairs, you're basically producing, you go to a craft fair and you sell it. You don't really have to do too much marketing. You don't have to really build too much of a...
The crowds are there for you.
The crowds are just given.
Right.
So the transition came when I opened my store in Sugarloaf, when I had a permanent spot, when I had to now drive people to my store and build a following and build relationships with my customers. That was the biggest step. The other was really I was doing it while I was bartending, while I was a secretary,
gotcha.
While I was other things.
You were marketing all along the way.
Yeah, but I mean, I was building, and I was building my collection. I was building tools. I was building a lot of other things, but I really wasn't involved in advertising and branding and all of the other things that go into business once you have a retail establishment. I really think that retail, you know, is a whole nother level.
Oh, it's a different animal, without question. And we were talking a little bit off air. I mean, our business is very, very personalized, but one of the companies I own, when I own a ski area, it was extremely marketing intensive. And I had literally no clue, but you learn very quickly.
Yes.
Well,
you got to get the people here one way or the other.
Yeah, you can't just pray that it's going to happen. With that, listen, this is Jim Mazzetti. I'm here with Rachel Bertone. We're having a great day, and this is the American Dream. We're going to be right back after this.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and cost thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hey, Polka fans, it's Nat the Cat inviting you to join me for an hour of polka fun each and every Sunday morning. For the very best in polkas, waltzes, and obedics, join us at 10 a.m. for the Natalie Gabala Polka Fun Show, Sundays, and it's all here on TBQ.
Hi, this is Dr. David Leach, the superintendent of the Warwick Valley Central School District and host of Your Schools. Listen every Monday at 12 noon to learn what's happening in your schools right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
And I'm back already. Sorry about that, folks that are not listening or are listening. This is Jim Mazzetti, the American Dream. I'm actually having too much fun today. I am here with Rachel Bertone, who is a jewelry maker extraordinaire out of Sugarloaf, New York. We're having just a great time talking about just business and how she got started and why she does what she does. And I'll tell you, this is one of the interviews that I just love doing because, we'll just say quickly, it's the genuineness that I've gotten out of this with you. And thank you so much for taking your time. I know how busy entrepreneurs are.
Well, I have to thank you for having me as well.
What a blast. And we kind of left off here on the transition between, or the blending is probably a better word here, on how you blend your artistic ability into actually being a businesswoman as well.
It's murder.
Okay, so we're not beating around the bush, folks.
No.
It's murder.
No,
right?
I would call it murder and torture.
Trial by fire doesn't even cover it, right?
No.
No.
But at the end of the day, I still am the happiest I've ever been doing what I love.
Right.
Because teaching, and all of the other things that I thought I wanted to do, never quite fulfilled the whole gamut.
Right.
We
talk about that. It's the true fulfillment. And we talk about it a lot. It's not just the revenue, because the revenue, quite frankly, and I say this a lot, is really the byproduct of what we do.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
The money really is irrelevant because if you're not truly happy within yourself, no amount of money is going to make you happy. I mean, let's face it, right?
And that's so the truth.
Oh, yeah.
People talk about it and they say, you know, money doesn't buy happiness. But I tell you, I'm telling you right here in front of you, money does not buy happiness.
It absolutely does not. Because if you have all the money in the world and you're still sad or mad or not following your dream, how can you truly be happy?
Right.
I mean, you know, I was a bartender and made... the one thing that bartending did for me, beside meet my lovely husband, It gave me a full-time living in 3 days versus five. All my friends were working 5 days a week for the same amount of money that I worked three days a week. That allowed me the 4 days to be creative. So along the way, all of the things that I've done have helped me along the way. And the one thing I have to say is that if you are creative out there and you have even the smallest spark, you must keep the flame going. Don't give it up. Because I feel that when I was a bartender, it was so easy to take more days and give up the jewelry. But I always said, no, I have to keep that flame. I actually used to keep track of how many pieces I would make per week. You know how you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and cross it off? I don't know what that's called, but it's a way of, you know, it's ancient counting, almost right. Like the abacus or something like that.
I like that.
So I would just go one, you know, because I would just add the lines. And at the end of the month, I'd be like, okay, I made 20 pieces. Maybe next month I could make 25 pieces. So I would keep track month after month just to know that I am actively involved in the process of making my jewelry. Because if you don't do anything, then the months go by, the weeks go by, and then how do you get started again?
It's so difficult. You're right.
You know,
time's a killer.
Yeah.
Right.
And the creative process just, it needs to be fed. Like people ask me all the time, you know, where do you get your ideas from? I tell them I'm a waterfall of ideas. I mean, it's just this constant flow because I'm in it every day. If you stop, the water stops flowing. The ideas stop flowing.
You get stagnant quick.
Yes. But if you keep those ideas flowing, then you're into another idea and another idea. And then I'm sketching and then I'm drawing and then I'm writing ideas down. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I just got chosen to be in an inspirational book by Mindkey Project. You can probably look it up online. And it's called the Yin and Yang. I can't even remember it at the moment. But nevertheless, they chose one of my collages. And some of the words that I was trying to pick for the name of the collage turned into a poem. And
also, the entire process actually ended up being something else.
Something else, right. But that's because the flow was going. Wow. You know, you have to just keep that little, I don't care if you do one sketch a day or one a week or something or whatever your creative, you know, there are musicians out there, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be writing, you want to be making or whatever it is that you do to keep that flame alive. And then the flow starts happening. And I just catch a few along the way. I'm basically just a waterfall.
You know, I think what you're saying doesn't just pertain to artists. And I think that, you know, entrepreneurs, you know, if you're out there and the ones that are listening, you're artists too, just in a different way.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because the creative process is being an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Right?
It's well, not, that's, yes.
You know,
that's
I don't care what widget you're taking.
Right.
So you gotta make that widget attractive, marketable.
Yes.
And make it happen. And be able to actually, you know, support you in a living. And if you get stale, which you were talking about before, if you don't keep those creative juices going, generally the outcome's not good.
Right.
Right. So you've managed to make it all keep going. And I can tell when we're listening, and we're on Periscope, so you can see her expressions. You love this.
I do. I do.
You know, I wish all entrepreneurs could have that much passion.
Well, you know, I want to tell you another little story. When I was a child living in Brooklyn, my father used to take me somewhere upstate here to the caves. And when I would come to the caves, I would look and I would be like mesmerized. I would look around and I would be like, oh my God, look at all these sparkly things, which were natural crystals, which was like the beginning of my fascination with stones. I'm like a hidden rock hound. You know, I probably have more stones behind the scenes than I actually have on the floor because I haven't gotten to make them because I have all these ideas and my hands can't work fast enough to get them done. But it, you know, stones are a whole nother element of jewelry design. You could see, or I could anyway, just look at a stone and envision this entire piece just from a beautiful stone. You know, it just speaks to me.
Again, you know, those are unique talents. But you've taken those unique talents and actually created a business out of it, which is extremely fascinating to me listening to you, and done it in a way that complements your life.
Yes.
right? And that's a really cool thing to be able to do as a business person.
Well, Sugarloaf is the only place that I have been able to do that. And I came here in my 40s. So it was later in life, but that's why I feel like I have to thank the universe and thank my husband and thank all of the things, you know, that have helped me along the way realize my dream, because I always thought this is what I wanted to do. But in Manhattan, it was never possible for me. Financially, it just was not possible.
I think you hit a point that I think it should be expressed here, is that, you know, if it's not working somewhere, whether it be location or demographics, doesn't mean your idea doesn't work.
No.
It just may not work in that locality.
And I never knew it at the time. I mean, I used to be in a taxi going up 6th Avenue and go, oh, there's a little store over there. Let me call them up. And they'd be like, oh, $5,000 a month. I'm like, I don't even make $5,000 a month. How could I possibly ever?
Right.
But once, you know, I was able to come to Sugarloaf and it was all tied into the mortgage, it was like, oh, maybe this is doable.
Right.
You know, not that it was easy, but
it was doable. No. Right.
It was doable.
But it was doable, it was attainable, and it helped calm some of those fears and anxiety for the moment.
Well, because I could be living there while working there,
right.
And it was all tied into the mortgage. Right. So, you know, I really am so happy that such a thing even exists that I never even knew in Manhattan. I was like, oh my God, look at this.
Right. And you know, the other thing we always ask, you know, what's success? And success means so many different things to so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it doesn't, it, like your business doesn't necessarily, and I don't want to be presumptive here, but you don't need to have this warehouse of creativity, you know, where there's hundreds of people working for you to get the satisfaction you're getting.
Oh no.
And again, that's it. And, you know, so we talk about businesses what's the expandability? Are they scalable, et cetera, et cetera? That doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't be in business.
Mm-hmm.
I
would like to expand a little bit more. I would like to get an intern of sort. Actually, I have an intern now, but she's more in the office arena. But
that was a big leap, I'm sure.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I've had several interns that have turned into employees over the years.
Right.
So that's a good avenue for those people out there who can't afford an employee, who are just starting out or may have just started a new business. You know, you can work with the colleges and get interns that can work for credit.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has worked for me very well.
And you've got, and I think in on that point, I think we should capitalize on it. These interns are like-minded people.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, so they're
They're eager to learn. And you have to also offer them something. I mean, I have offered my interns a number of things that they could learn while there. And I try to make sure that they have a mini plan within the time that they stay with me to learn certain things.
Neat. And that's the give back thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you got your start, was learning from professors and so on and so forth. It's the teaching.
Yeah.
Humans, we need to give that piece of us.
And grants, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Grants, yes. I've gotten a number of grants to do a number of things over the years. They're small grants, but...
Really? How'd you go about that?
Yeah, a trial and error, basically. took a couple of workshops here and there and wrote a number of them, and I didn't get every single one. And they say at the grant workshops that really you have to write 10 to expect one.
Okay.
So there is a lot of work involved, but I've probably gotten 3 to 5 grants or 5 to 10. I've lost count, actually.
And that's helped you with employing interns and so on?
No, the grants really were for my music series.
Gotcha.
I run a music series in the Sculpture Garden in the summer, the July music series, which is free to the public for anybody who is not aware of it. It's every Sunday in July, generally speaking.
In Sugarloaf.
In Sugarloaf, in my sculpture garden.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Free for the community.
But, you know, but it's neat that you can actually think about those things and bring them to your community. Again, I call it give back.
Well, again, I never knew that I was going to get involved in something like that. And things just happen along the way.
Well, you got to be open-minded. You got to be, you know, if you're not learning, you're not earning, right? So you got
to,
every day.
Well, I try to support all the arts. I mean, we've had music, we've had poetry. you know, fine arts. I was involved in an auction, an art auction, to raise money for the Pious organization.
Okay.
So I, you know, along the way there again, not that I planned it, but it came my way and I was like, auction? Okay, let's try it. Let's do it. Let's see what happens.
Well, listen, we're going to run out of time here quickly. So what's the future? What do you say?
Oh, as I said, possibly opening a second store, possibly getting an intern of sorts for the, you know, a trainee. And we'll just see how it goes.
We'll see what God gives us.
I'm actually currently reorganizing my workshop. That is a big job. I've been doing that since January 1st. For the new year, my thing has been I need to reorganize, because basically the workshop that I have has been thrown together. Really was never organized.
God, listen, we're going to have to unfortunately leave it at that. This is Jim Mazzetti. I've had the pleasure of having Rachel Bertone, my guest today on The American Dream. Join us next week from 10 to 11, interviewing the best and brightest of Orange County. Take care and God bless.